when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday evening. Maybe you're right. Maybe that when I'm anxious, the tenor, the voice changes a little bit.
I think you're better when you're hot.
When I'm always hot, baby. Come on, baby. I'm always hot. I'm always smoking.
You know what's hot? It was 86 degrees today in California.
Did you get out and whip some frisbees?
I banged some chains.
You flicked your wrists.
I did 36 holes of chain banging.
That's too many. That's way too many for a chain bang. I don't think that's an appropriate number.
It was a lot. And then my wife, when I got home, said, "Let's go for a walk."
And you're like, "I can barely stand up now because."
Yeah, so I took like a quick nap and then we went for a walk.
At that point, so you did not then. On your Sunday, partake in any of the Americans Abroad action that happened over there?
I did not. I tried. Now, yesterday I did, but today I did not. Now, I left the house around 7 a.m., so I didn't get to see anything. I followed on my phone a bit. I know that there's a certain young American that followed up.
Man, look, last week. I did, because of my anxious pre-show technical issues, I didn't put together. I need to get a choo-choo train sound, Jared. I need to get a... some sort of like maybe from the movie Money Train or from what is the one with Denzel Washington where he's got to stop the runaway train? Maybe something like that.
Oh, man.
You know?
Silver Bullet with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Did you just act like you didn't know what Silver Bullet was?
Haven't seen it. Don't know. I know Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor did some really good stuff together. See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
I know Nick hasn't seen
it. They did a couple of movies together. Obviously, well, that was not Richard Pryor. Never mind. I think Richard Pryor was supposed to be the sheriff in Blazing Saddles, but he was not. So, yeah, there's that. But I was going to say, maybe Throw Mama from the Train, Polar Express. I'm just naming all the train movies now.
I'm wondering if the movie Strange Brew, you know, the Canadian movie from the 80s.
Is there a train? Manus. Is there a train in that movie?
No. I wonder if they talk about a beer being hoppy.
They might. I don't know if we... Should we go just, like, lean into the hoppy thing? Like a beer reference? I'm thinking about that. I don't know. The hoppy hype train is under full steam, though. The kid scored again today. He's got four... In something like six appearances for Schalke and their first
four
team.
Four in two games, if you really want
four
to.
Four in two good. Games, the hat trick, and then this one.
Let's say this, four in two starts?
Yes, you could frame it that way. Obviously, this is a club that is in desperate straits, and we've talked about this. Now, this goal did not mean anything in the end, because Eintracht Frankfurt dropped three on Schalke, including two from Jovic. After Hoppy had equalized in the 29th minute.
Did you see that half volley he put in? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is the thing now. Like, how much should we freak out about a 19-year-old kid from Orange County? Take note. He's an Orange County kid. He's not an Inland Empire kid.
We have not verified that he doesn't
OC. That's
Empire
all yet. OC, okay? How much should we freak out about this? Like, how excited should we be, Jared? Should I be penciling in?
I understand. Why do we have to freak out?
No, we don't.
Why can't we just be like, oh, this is cool?
That's the
American soccer thing. Either freak out or disappointed.
Okay.
That's all we allow.
But this is what happened. So last week, after the three goals and the hat trick, we said, okay, let's not freak out. Let's be adults in the room, right? Like, you know how like 1 minute you're... Like looking up people hitting themselves in the ball somehow on YouTube, and then your kid walks in the room and is like, "Dad, I have a problem with my homework," and then you have to be like all adult for a sec. You have to stop and do whatever kid thing
you wasn't just watching Johnny Knoxville get tasered.
That's exactly what I'm saying. 1 minute you're watching Jackass, the next minute you got to be a parent. We decided to be responsible last week, and we said, "Okay, look." A hat trick is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. It never happened before in the Bundesliga for an American. Let's be excited, but let's be reasonable. This is one game. This is not a large sample size. He's 19. We hadn't really been talking about him prior to this hat trick.
We didn't know about him. I didn't know about him.
Didn't even know he was there. So
it's like I uncovered a rock instead of roly polies. There was a hoppy underneath it.
So let's. I'm. That's interesting. Roly poly. That's you guys. That's your go to. That's what my go to too.
What a pill bug is that? The
pill bug or some other house bug or something? I don't know. Anyway, last week we were responsible. This week he scored again. It's not a hat trick, but he scored again. Now it's like, well, now this isn't just a fluke anymore, right? Now this is. Is he legit enough that we should be thinking about him for at least the U23 Olympic team? He's got to be in the mix for that.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, the dude's scoring goals in the Bundesliga. We don't have another striker in the system that can say that.
is that low-key shade?
I'm just saying. There's no one else in the system that can say they're scoring goals in the Bundesliga.
Did you, like, sucker punch Josh Sargent with some shade just now?
You're just hearing it that way. I just stated a fact.
No, okay. Well, look. You're right.
If you're going to make something by omission, then I mean that's on you.
Fair enough. Now,
but yeah, U23, and if it keeps going, I mean, we have what? How many months until a meaningful game at this point?
Two and a half, I think, is something like, or in that range.
Let's say over the next 2.5 months. Two and a half months. There's going to be roughly, I don't know, 10 games in 2.5 months, something like that. Maybe let's say it's 6 games. Let's say he gets 6 starts over the next 2.5 months.
Okay.
And gets 4 more goals.
Mm-hmm.
He may be starting for the national team.
You don't think so?
That means he has 8 goals in 3 months. Well,
I think that, again, you're making me be responsible, and I want to be the one who gets to drive the train. Like, if you're, are you taking over? Are you the conductor?
Drive a train, though? I mean, where's it going to go?
Wait.
Where the tracks are?
I know there's no steering wheel, but you are in charge of the speed and those things.
I shoveled the coal.
Are you the conductor or the engineer? Which one is the one that has control?
Takes the tickets, man. He doesn't do anything.
I don't want to be the conductor. That's
Indiana Jones. No ticket.
The conductor does get to say all aboard or whatever. So there's that.
That's the cool part.
That is the cool part.
But the injuries were overalls.
That's a good point, too. He's not going to have time in the system to understand the system to get to a point where Greg Berhalter says, okay, I'm comfortable. Now, look, I guess if he's scoring, it's almost impossible to keep him out of the team. But does that mean you start him in a game where everything kind of has to click in order for this team to be the best it can be? Would you start him over Jossie Zardes in 2 months' time if he's got 4 more goals?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. The only reason I wouldn't is because he hasn't had a chance to have any chemistry with those players.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true for Jossie Zardes. When's the last time Jossie Zardes played in the national team game?
Yeah,
he was,
I know,
in the playoffs during the last run. He's not in Camp Cupcake right now because he's probably getting a break from winning the championship. Jossie Zardes has many games for the national team in the last 6 months as Hoppy.
That may be true, but doesn't Zardes have, a better understanding of what Berhalter wants?
Absolutely. He played for the guy.
Yeah, I think that matters here. Now, as the armchair coaches, we get to say, start Matthew Hoppy if he's got more goals because we just need somebody who puts the ball in the net. But I don't think that's where Berhalter's going to go. This is what I want to know from our people, from the besties. 717-727-2378, or hit us up at Bestie Soccer on Twitter. Let us know, and obviously in the chat too, where is Matthew Hoppy in your national team striker pecking order right now? After 4 goals in 2 games for Schalke, where is he? Because you could say he's anywhere from 3rd to 6th or 7th, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right now. Not we were having a little hypothetical where he said 8 weeks from now or something like that. But right now, and man.
Right here, right now.
Right here. Right. Is that the Van Halen song?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
That was also like the Pepsi song, I think. Let's see. I would say he is somewhere. He's in the top 5 right now just because it's such a weak pool.
Okay, give it to me. Give me your top 5. I think we did this last week, but he scored another goal.
We did, but he scored another goal. So like, I think I had him pretty close up there right now. Jossie Zardes is still number 1. Like it was, once again, game at the Azteca.
That's always the hypothetical. Game at the Azteca. Mm-hmm.
Josie Altidore
is number 2 on your list. So Jossie Zardes. Josie's number 1. Okay. Josie's number 1. Jossie Zardes.
Josie's number 1. And then hold on,
I got to give you the proper. Let me give you the proper here. Okay, there's Josie.
And then after that, I would put Jossie Zardes still.
Okay.
Then probably Hoppy.
Oh, That's how fast you get down to hoppy?
I mean, it's not a starting position. It's not a starting position. But do I want a guy on my bench that is scoring goals in the Bundesliga, or do I want a guy on my
bench? Okay, you're right. The calculation changes if you're saying, okay, I'm bringing in a 23-man roster for a game at the Azteca, you are bringing in three center forwards in a team that plays a 4-3-3? Is that about right?
Yeah.
You could get away with two, probably, and you have versatility.
I mean, I'm not going to get away with it because, obviously, there's wingers that you can play in this. But I would say central forwards, you're bringing probably three.
Okay, so in your mind, that is Josie Altidore's artist and Matthew Hoppe right now.
I mean, I could justify it.
Yeah, no, okay. I mean, again, hot hand, I think, matters on some level.
I don't think Berhalter would do that, though. I think for Berhalter, it's going to be... Honestly, I think for Berhalter, it's... Man, I think it's...
Okay, well, let's do this. Okay. I feel like we're repeating ourselves. And anybody who says, oh, didn't you guys just do this show last week? Let us know. Did I already throw at you Daryl DK or Matthew Hoppe? Let's do it again with an extra goal on the pile.
Starting or on the roster?
No, just if you had to pick one of them for your team.
Man, I would take DK just because there's no physical matchup like him.
Okay. I mean, I do think skill set and tools that matters.
And I have a whole season that I've seen him play. I mean, Matt Hoppe's only played a couple of games.
But that's what I'm saying. He scored four goals. You are the man that rates goals above all else. Okay.
I do. And Daryl DK has more goals because he's had a whole season.
In two games, Matthew Hoppe has as many goals as Daryl DK did in most of the... How many did he get? Seven this year, something like that, for DK?
Like that, yeah.
I mean, it's a nice number. It's a rookie of the year kind of number, if there was such a thing anymore. But it's not like he ran away with... You know, it's not like he scored 15 goals and there's no doubt that he's an elite-level goal scorer in Major League Soccer. He's still a work in progress.
The one thing Daryl DK has that no other striker in the pool, other than Josie Altidore, can say is that he is a physical mismatch on the field. Josie Altidore's got that same frame, but Josie Altidore is 10 years older than Daryl DK right now?
Yes. Roughly? No, not quite. Probably not 8 or 9.
22?
Something like that. And Josie just hitting 30? Yeah, Josie hitting 30.
About 8 years. Yeah. But 8 years on that frame, dude. And Josie has had injuries as a result of probably carrying that frame around and taking the beating that he's taken over his career. Daryl DK could be Josie Altidore 2.0, you know, maybe even better. Who knows? But that frame... That frame means something in international soccer. It does.
Yeah.
So I mean, right now I would take Daryl DK over Hoppe.
All right. I mean, I'm still, maybe I'm just too conservative on this front. I still want to see him be consistent across, and it doesn't have to be goals in every game, right? It just has to be pretty good performances, starting, getting an opportunity. I mean, the reason that you have dinged Josh Sargent and dropped him way down the pecking order is because he's playing but not scoring, right? And you can point to a couple of other guys who are playing and kind of scoring. And now here comes Matthew Hoppe, and all he does is score goals, and he's doing it in just two games. He's got four goals already. And again, it's small enough sample size to say, it's fluky. You know, it's not real. We don't know.
Listen, if we got it wrong, let us know. If you want to call in 717-727-BEST, give us your top three. Just give yourself, you don't have to go with five. Give us your top three right now, national team forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up on Twitter if you want to do that. Let's go to Ray. Ray's in Milwaukee. What you got, Ray?
What I really want to ask Jared is about, in a 10-game series, 2011 LA Galaxy versus the 2020 Columbus Crew on a neutral venue in a 10-game series. Who wins more?
What are we doing? No, man. What are you doing?
We're taking a left turn.
That's not what we do. We're here talking about Matthew Hoppe, Ray. Why?
My man wants to know about 2011 Galaxy. You know,
okay, I'm going to allow you the opportunity to respond to this, and then we're going to go back to Matthew Hoppe because I do have
10 games neutral field. He said.
Okay. Yeah.
Ten games neutral field.
Yeah.
It should be no shock to you. I'm taking the Galaxy, but let me tell you why I'm taking the Galaxy. In a 10-game series, you have 10 games where Bruce Arena gets to coach the team and make adjustments. You got 10 games where Robbie Keane is going to have a chance to score. You have 10 games where Landon Donovan is going to have a chance to lead the team creatively. I mean, where in here do you feel like there's
a
single position on the field where the crew is better manned in 2020 than the Galaxy was that year?
Center backs were Omar Gonzalez and AJ De La Garza.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Little. Yeah.
Janino and Sarvis.
I agree with that sentiment. I agree with that sentiment 100%. I think the starting 11 player for player, if you're doing like 11th grade and you're talking about you want the best players, I'm taking more LA Galaxy than I am the 2020. And I even I think Bruce Arena is probably the best MLS coach ever. And particularly when it comes to constructing MLS championship team with the set of rules that are implemented.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I think there's people out there who are going to say that the game is different in 2020. It's 9 years further evolved. And I think you're right if you chose most championship teams through MLS history. That's a hard one to argue it with just because of the talent that is on there. And those guys, even Keane and Beckham are both, what, 33, 32 Keane, probably at Beckham, that age?
Keane, yeah.
Beckham, Donovan.
McGee.
McGee. Jovino.
I would take Valenzuela Carter, over. Man, you're going to hate me for that. It was Donovan on the left, right? Was he the starting left back at that Donovan point? Left back, yeah. I think I would take Milton Valenzuela over Todd Donovan.
That's a tough one. Todd Donovan's got three rings.
Well, also, Ray, I appreciate the call. You did turn us to the left there. With Donovan, also not the attacking player that Valenzuela. It's a different game. It's a different team. It's a different setup. You could argue all those things. Okay, that was interesting. Before we move on from the hoppy hype train, which is absolutely what we're going to just call it from now on, or the hypey train, do you think that works?
Ooh. Nah.
The hoppy train? You can't call it the hop. It's not. You need the other word in there, right?
We'll figure it out.
Hypey train's not bad, but it doesn't say hop. Okay. So yeah. I found this stat from
Josh Hypey.
Why Josh?
Wait, Matthew Hypey.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. I found this.
About, you know why today? I was thinking about today when I was watching it. It was like, man, the last time we were like excited about a striker like that or something like that was, and it didn't work out, was Josh Gatt. I was thinking about like
how he wasn't a striker.
I was thinking about the evolution that 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we were stoked that Josh Gatt was performing in Denmark at the time. I think what was it?
He was
the hope.
Sweden or Norway?
Where we are now.
Yeah, he might have been in Molde actually. In Norway. All right, I'm going to close out the Matthew Hoppy situation. And again, figure out where you think he is in the pecking order in the depth chart. Send it to us. Ryan O'Hanlon, who I still think works for the Ringer, but also has his own Substack, No Grass in the Clouds. He has this stat. So he was talking about getting excited about Matthew Hoppy after the three goals, not even after the most recent one. He wrote this after the hat trick. He said for the big five leagues, and we know what those are. That's Germany, France, England, Italy, and Spain. The big five leagues. The stats perform database goes back to the 2008 season. Since then, there have been 11 non-penalty hat tricks scored by a player younger than 20. Okay, so players under 20 years old who have scored non-penalty hat tricks. Four of those players scored four goals, actually. Santi Mina for Celta Vigo in 2015. Domenico Berardi for Sassuolo in 2014. Mauro Icardi for Sampdoria in 2013. And Kylian Mbappe for PSG in 2018. And then there are a bunch of players who have scored only three goals. He did four and then he did three. Mbappe did it for Monaco in 2017. And then you have a player for Sporting Gijón, Antonio Sanabria, and then Ousmane Dembele for Rennes in 2016, Francesco Gandolfo for Bari in 2011, and Erling Haaland for Dortmund in 2020. So think about the company that Matthew Hoppy, he may never do another thing, but think about the company he keeps. Yeah. Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland, Mauro Icardi. I mean, Dembele. Yeah. Damn, that's nuts.
Now all he has to do is live up to it.
I'll say this, what I said last week. He's not carrying all our hopes, right? We have five other guys right now that we can point to. And, you know, thinking of the Americans Abroad weekend, it's not like anybody had a great weekend. It's not like anybody stood out. I watched some of Weston McKennie's run out for Juve, and he had,
I'll say this, before getting a stupid red card, Anthony Robinson was the better American on the Robinson was a better American on the field than Christian Pulisic that game.
Yeah. Christian Pulisic, not the best. Weston McKennie played half an hour, a little bit more than that, for Juve today in a loss to Inter. Inter was just a better team. You know, Juve is obviously not where they're accustomed to being. They've hit reset on everything, and it's also about the learning curve for Andrea Pirlo. And McKinney looked pretty good. He's involved. It's wild watching how much attacking play Weston McKennie adds. And we've talked about this a lot, but I just, you know, you see him combining with Ronaldo 8 yards, 10 yards from goal, and you're like, wow, they really do count on him to be part of the numbers up front.
Rabiot and Ramsey just don't get the same energy. You don't get the same energy from those two players as you get from Weston McKennie, and that's saying something. I mean, that's really
We did have a tweet. I got to find it. I had a tweet from somebody who said, I think that, okay, it's from Brian. Brian Rincon said, I think McKennie's call sign should be Chaos instead of Lone Star. Because he plays like that. He plays like Chaos.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I don't think he is chaotic for his team. I think he inspires chaos in the other team.
Okay, that's fair. He's an agent of chaos then, but yeah, not necessarily.
Like, he doesn't know his position. He doesn't know where to be on the field or something like that. You know, he's not running around like a Tasmanian devil. I mean,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
But the same, what I think he does is that he counterbalances or unbalances the other team because their time on the ball is reduced. You know, and that's why I think that, especially in La Liga, in Serie A, I don't know that's something that people always associate with that league. You know, I think a lot of times it is more of a technical players league where you do have a little bit more time on the ball and you can do things and you can create things. Italians are known for defense.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily think in that part of the field or pressuring from the top like Weston McKennie is willing to do.
Yeah.
I think that's something different. I think that's something you see more in the Premier League.
Well, that's the thing. It's interesting. He obviously involved in the attack. And it's not that Juve gets numbers forward. I mean, they get numbers involved. He's back pressing a lot. Like he's obviously trying to track back and get behind the ball when he can. And if the opponent is going to, you know, build up slowly, then obviously he's going to take up what amounts to a number eight position. You know, he's going to be in front of a more defensive midfielder, but he's going to be in that midfield trying to muck things up, recover the ball, press in spots. But he's also back pressing when Juve turns the ball over in their attacking third. He's back pressing and he's got the speed and the energy and this physicality. And there was a couple of moments today when it was him and Lukaku. And it was just like, you know, that's like two Rams clattering heads that, you know, on the mountaintop and the lightning bolts and everything that echo through the canyons that you guys have them. I don't have them. There's no canyons around here. You probably like, flicking your frisbees.
You have Appalachians near you or something?
Yeah, we don't have canyons though. Our mountains aren't nearly that dramatic.
That's
where they're kind of like big hills, and then they just go like that. Like
What other tweet that we got? This is from SEO Spider, and he said, "Topic to consider: Chelsea fans are out for blood if Callum Hudson-Odoi doesn't start over Pulisic Tuesday against Leicester." Listen. Everyone wants to see Joe, and everyone wants him. He's feeling really well in the minutes that he's got. But is it Pulisic's position that he needs to be in for? I mean, at some point, Frank Lampard's got some decisions to make because no one's getting it done, really, in that offense. And you've got, this weekend, Timo Werner on the bench.
Well, that's the thing. If not for – and look, I don't think Pulisic is
– Tammy Abraham on the bench.
I don't think Pulisic is having a terrible – like, he's having a – he's having a dry spell because Chelsea is having a dry spell, right? Like, it's just not working for everybody. But Timo Werner is bust of busts, right? And we, of course, the English press hyperbolize everything. But there, you know, it's...
But again, he's a bust because Lampard is playing him out of position.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is what Lampard does, right? He's like, no, lad, you're going to play in this other spot. And then they stink and the media goes nuts and the fans go nuts. And then eventually Lampard comes around and things get better. But why do this? Why mess around with this? Why make it more difficult than it needs to be? And I don't care if Chelsea wins or loses, but obviously winning helps Christian Pulisic look better if he's in the lineup when it happens. So it's that weird thing we're doing as American soccer fans. Was like, I'm not really a Chelsea fan, but damn it, it needs to look good for Pulisic so he can keep getting starts so the media doesn't come down on him and he doesn't, you know, ultimately get relegated to the bench.
3-1. I just hope my guy gets the one goal so he keeps playing. That's kind of the place I'm at right
now. Okay, so that's Matthew Hoppe, but Pulisic's quota beyond that, though. That's the thing. It's a higher level for Pulisic. So
a question for you. The other player in the team, let's talk about this real quick. Anthony Robinson looked fantastic in the, 24? How many minutes did he play before he got a card? 28 or something like that? I can't remember what it was.
Well, that's barely anything to judge him on.
It was 44. It was 44
minutes. Okay, so that's almost a half. Okay.
Sorry, it was 44 minutes.
All right.
Looked really good. He beat defenders for speed. Pushing up the left-hand side.
Well, speed has never been his issue. He's got speed. We know that.
Yeah, and I mean, he should have had a hockey assist on one of the prettiest offensive transitions that I've seen in a while. Like, great vision. He pulled out. He picked out the second runner behind across the field and played a beautiful ball across. And the Fulham striker just wasted it. I think it was Cavallo or something. I can't remember the guy's name. But the what I'll ask you is, with the progress that Anthony Robinson is having, are you now seeing Serginho Dest, the national team, as the right back or the left back? Basically, what I'm asking you is, Anthony Robinson progressing fast enough that Serginho Dest now could be the right back, or is he, or like, between,
well,
Reggie?
I'll
Cannon
tell you this.
And Anthony Robinson.
I think it matters. I think it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, and I don't think that Berhalter is necessarily apt to put out two fullbacks who are going to, you know, who are going to press high, who are going to who are going to get into the attack on a basically what I'm saying is, he's going to leave one of those guys back. There's got to be a balance, right? It's not, you don't throw both your fullbacks up and leave yourself leave yourself susceptible to getting hit on the counter, because you've got two center backs that got to do all that work, and maybe Tyler Adams. So I think if you have Dest in the field, Dest is your attacking fullback, and you need to balance him out with somebody who's a little bit more defensive-minded.
Isn't the reason why you play Tyler Adams and Weston McKennie in that midfield is so that they can cover those two guys?
Maybe, but I don't think you want to necessarily set yourself up that McKennie's the one who has to make 70-yard recovery runs to get back to defend. Like, I think you want to make sure...
I think that's Tyler Adams' job more anyway.
No,
but
I know, but you're talking about defending with three, right? So... And maybe that's good enough.
But teams around the world do this. Are you saying that the American team just isn't? Our center backs maybe aren't good enough that you have enough trust in them?
It's not just about the center backs. It's about your ability. It's about your ability to hold possession, to make your possession count, and to not turn the ball over in dangerous areas. Right? If you turn the ball over,
Greg Berhalter has promised us a attacking. Like pretty style from the beginning.
He did?
Right? That's what he was going to read.
He said that?
We did.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to have a free flowing, build from the back style of possession.
Building from the back, yes. Yes, he absolutely wants that.
So, how do you leave? Basically, you're potentially leaving like a sports car in the garage if you could have both Anthony Robinson and Dest flying down these wings.
Well, okay, it's also about the wing. It's also about your wide forwards.
Reggie Cannon is far more practical.
It's about your yes, there's that. It's also about your wide forwards, right? And by the way, we don't know what the next year is going to look like for Brian Reynolds, although that deal's still not done. Still not done. They still can't figure it out. He had to renew his passport, apparently. I mean, I guess, dude, you weren't going anywhere. I understand it maybe if it lapses.
Who is this?
Brian Reynolds. It's not done for Brian Reynolds. Yeah, he's not, you know, he's not a Juve player or a Benevento player or whatever it was.
Come on, son. Like, you only have one. Your job is like, you're a professional soccer player. Wants to go to Europe. Have your crap together.
Okay. By the way, you said something about Berhalter and pretty soccer. And Frank in Orange County says, did Josie give you that pretty attack? And he sure as hell does. Out of everybody you've got, because he's the best passer in the bunch by a mile.
Josie Altidore allows Christian Pulisic and Giovanni Reyna to get into attacking positions and play them through.
So
I mean, that's what he gives you. He gives you a pivot up top.
This is so. Raymond's got another point. This is what I wanted to get to. Okay, so you're saying if you've got Anthony Robinson and Serginho Dest, push them up the field, get them up there, overload, do everything you can. It matters who your wide forwards are, right? Because you're not going to get a ton of width from Musa and McKennie, or Leggett and McKennie, or Reyna and McKennie, right? You're not playing, those players are not, and they're not, McKennie's going to be defending, don't get me wrong, so is Adams. You're not expecting a ton of defending out of the other midfielder in that bunch, and depending on who he is and what the responsibilities are, and you don't want to leave a big gap in the middle of the field anyway to play through if you've now got to cover space wide because the fullbacks are pushed high, right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, as you say, so if Christian Pulisic is the left attacker in the 4-3-3, that's where you want Dest. You want Dest on that left side then, right? Because what's Christian Pulisic going to do on that left side? He's going to cut in.
Okay.
That's where the channel is going to be. So, if you have Giovanni Reyna on the other side, is he going to be cutting in? He's right-footed. He's going to try to get through the end line, right?
Well, he's not going to play to the end line. He's going to play in a half space out there. And
where do you want Dest? Do you want him with an open channel down the left side, or in a bit of traffic?
You're thinking attacking. I'm also you also have to consider defensive work, right? is Christian Pulisic. If Christian Pulisic and Sergiño Dest are basically playing on the touchline, or on the end line, rather, who's going to cover that space when the ball goes the other way?
This is the change in the American psyche. I'm thinking about attacking. Like, honestly, can you remember when we had a double? We had a bucket in the middle, and all we were thinking about is how to cover our ass and make one chance a game worth it.
Yeah, wasn't it like what was Bob's?
Bob Bradley.
I love Bob. I do.
But and Jermaine Jones together in the midfield.
Michael Bradley and Jermaine Jones. Yeah,
sorry.
But. Well, I'm thinking about even before that under Bob. Right, it was like. Who was in that double pit? It was like Pablo Mascherini and
no, it was Michael Bradley still. Even
well, I mean Michael Bradley, I guess. Yeah, but I'm talking about 2000. Oh yeah, okay, 2010.
It was Mascherini. If you go way back, it was Santa as well and stuff like that.
I'm talking about a Bob, but yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
We're thinking about like, wow, are we being too? Here's the thing, in CONCACAF qualifying outside of Mexico, you should be playing what we're talking about right now. You should be putting Dest and Anthony Robinson on the field two teams.
There's still a balance. You have Christian Pulisic. As much as he's stinking it up right now for Chelsea, he's still a good player, and he's still dominating CONCACAF if you protect him. You have Christian Pulisic. You have Giovanni Reyna. You have Weston McKennie. You have potentially a Musa, but it could be somebody else. There's other attacking weapons that you have. Obviously, the striker situation is a little bit untenable right now, and we've got to work that out. It's not like you have to throw numbers forward with abandon in order to create. You shouldn't have to, is my point, right? You should be able, even against a bunkered in, I don't know, Honduras, you should still be able to create chances with those three or four guys.
Listen. Missionary gets the job done too, but doesn't mean I like other stuff. Like, it's a...
Jay Rodius.
Sometimes I like different toppings on my yogurt.
How are those things related? Is that are you mixing your metaphors?
Vanilla is a perfectly good flavor of ice cream, but come on, it's vanilla. Come on, dude. Like, I want some other stuff.
Yeah. By the way, Rico Clark.
Change it up.
Rico Clark's the name I was thinking of. Thank you to Holden for throwing in Rico Clark's name. That's what I was thinking. That Pablo Mascherini, Rico Clark.
And to help with your point, let's say this. Maybe Giovanni Reyna isn't that right side of the three up top. Maybe he's in the Yunus Musa position and.
Yeah, sure.
Jordan Morris is up there?
Sure. And Jordan Morris is a player we should definitely talk about right now because, look, I'm surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be. I don't think it was –
This guy told you he should make the move.
I know you've been – you were saying it. You were. And we're going to come to that in a second because I know you're gonna claim all your brownie points, your besties points. I don't know. You can trade those in for a stuffed bear, a giant pencil. Yes. What else do they got over there? They got a little soldier – the bag of little soldier guys.
It's sometimes Laffy Taffys.
You know what I always liked? Not the soldier guys. The parachute dudes. Remember the parachute dudes?
Yeah, dude. You just throw them off your roof and they just stuck up there.
They wouldn't actually like... Sometimes they would... You had to get real high.
You need to be in a tree and three throws.
Oh, absolutely. But you had to get them real high for them to actually... For the air parachute to open up and for them to actually like slowly... Otherwise, it would just go boop. You had to wrap them the right way so the parachute deployed.
You know what game I've gotten really good at the arcade for getting tokens and tickets and stuff like that? I've gotten really good at – you know the game where when you shoot a coin out and it lands and there's the pushed sticks push the coins?
Yeah.
I bought my kid a lava lamp with my success on that stuff. Like, lava lamp. You got to think how many tickets and how successful you'd be to get a lava lamp.
I'm just stunned that you're saying I've gotten good at, which implies –
It's timing.
But it implies practice. Which
oh so much practice.
How often are you guys going to an arcade with the coin pushing thing?
I got good because every year we would go to the beach house. You know, we go to the beach house and there's a at Newport there's a arcade there, and that's what I do when we go to the arcade there. And I was getting really good success with it.
Okay.
I've branched off to other arcades we go to.
Lava lamps and MAGA hats, is that how that works down there in Newport? How many of the people that you went to the arcade with? Never mind. I don't even want to go down that road. We won't have to do that. Jordan Morris to Swansea. Again, it's not that I don't think he's good enough in that environment, or maybe even at a slightly higher level. It's that I didn't know he wanted to. I didn't know he wanted to, Jared.
You see, I don't know that he did either. But let me tell you the reason why I think this is happening. I think this is happening because we've hinted at this in our conversations, and I think this is one of the reasons I listed back in the day why he may want to make a move. Now, 6-month loan, that's a pretty good investment. I mean, that's a pretty unfortunate investment by Seattle Sounders. I think their hand is forced right now because if you're the Seattle Sounders, you're just at MLS Cup how many of the last 3 years? Like every one of them or something?
Four
like
out
that?
Of the last five, like, my dude.
Yeah. And so what advantage is there to that, them letting him go? There really isn't one. But if you're Jordan Morris, you're looking at the MLS season coming up and you're seeing dudes breathing down your neck for your national team spot. He may not get games. If this season gets pushed off, let's see if the season gets pushed off to what, May?
Oh, this definitely feels a lot like what the women are doing going to England. Yeah. Now, there's other factors.
Abby Dahlkemper going to Europe, you know?
Yeah. So Abby Dahlkemper going now to Manchester City as well. And those players who went, they went because it's experience.
Though, because part of that I think has to do with the USSF not paying the roster, not paying the positions in the professional league anymore. How that might be stopping?
No. There's still U.S. soccer contracts, and you can get paid to be in the NWSL through your U.S. soccer contract. You now have an option to sign a contract directly with a team that's not paid through U.S. soccer. But that's not why those players left. Those players left because they weren't going to get any competitive matches in the fall. There was no guarantee of when the NWSL was going to start, and it wasn't going to start absolutely until April of 2021. And they knew that there was an Olympics coming up, and Rose hadn't played much in a year, and
still
during,
not.
Well, now it's there's that too. But I think there's lots of reasons for that. And in this case, it is. I think you're right. I think it's the pressure of those players he's watching every weekend in Europe, who are in that camp in November, a camp that he wasn't a part of because he was with the Sounders. I think that. You know, at some point you become comfortable enough to say, all right, I got this. I can go try. Now, he is not necessarily aiming for the stars, right? This isn't a moonshot. This is like, what's the degree of difficulty here, right? This is not, you're not trying the triple axel out of the gate. You're trying like, just a double toe loop. Well, I don't know where where that came from, but that's the best I can do here. Like, It's a trick that a lot of people wouldn't be able to pull off, but it's not the most impressive trick in the repertoire, right? So, is this the right move for him?
If it gets, I think it's a good shot. I mean, it's championship, right? Yeah, it's championship, right? Yeah,
yeah. So they're second place in the championship right now, so they have a very good shot at getting promoted.
Yeah. So if I'm Jordan Morris, this was a no debate thing for me. Like literally every 2 to 3 weeks. Someone else is coming out of the woodwork that is threatening his job at the national team. Like Matthew Hoppe, like if I probably don't want him to be a center forward because I don't think he necessarily is built for the center for that center forward position. But the right side of the three man front, sure, he's a slasher. It looked like it from the games I've watched. Like he's really good at getting behind defenses. That's where Jordan Morris is playing. Every week, there's someone else coming out that is threatening Jordan Morris's position. And the one thing that he has going against him that everyone else doesn't is that he plays in MLS. And their season may not even be starting. So it's a no-brainer for me. And I think it's a decent landing spot because let's say he makes a difference there. 6 months? 6 months? We better saw what Landon Donovan did in 6 months with Everton. They wanted to sign him.
Yeah.
But LA wouldn't let him go.
Yeah.
I don't think that Atlanta wanted to go to full-time. I'm not sure about that. But
I don't think
LA Galaxy wasn't going to let him go. But that's going to be a tough decision for
Seattle. You know why? Landon maybe didn't want to. Was it the first stint or the second stint? Where he got pulled into some tabloid?
I don't remember. I can remember.
Okay, we don't have to go down that road. Who knows? That was all unverified, right? Like that was some crazy stuff we don't need to talk about. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think people are going to care more about Jordan Morris in the championship than we would normally care about an American player making the move to a second division at this point.
Okay, so where do you put Jordan Morris? Your weekend viewing.
My weekend viewing.
All the Americans playing in Europe right now.
Yeah.
If they're all playing at the same time,
yeah.
How many players are you going down before you watch Jordan Morris's game?
Well, so the first weekend, I'm probably watching him. I'm probably making time. If it's a conflict with, there is a line. There are certain circumstances. I mean, it's not going to be the first. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But let's say it's Dortmund-Bayern, right? Mm-hmm. Der Klassiker, and Giovanni Reyna is going to start in Der Klassiker.
Yeah.
I'm probably watching that game over Jordan Morris at Swansea, right?
Okay, then here's a pick your poison for you then.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go that direction? Okay, let's do it that way.
Poison. Both players starting next weekend at the same time. Are you watching Matthew Hoppe? Are you watching Jordan Morris? If they're both starting next week at the same time.
I'm watching Jordan Morris. I am.
I think I am too.
I think there's, look, it's not that I think that Jordan Morris is, that important to the National. I think he can be important. I think he can be good. I think it's important to have players like him and to have depth and whatever. I'm just really interested by his circumstance. And you know, by the way, let's make sure it's clear. We understand the geography here. This is Wales and not England, but that he is going to be playing in the English Championship. So if we say England by mistake, nobody jump down our throat, okay? I think that because he didn't go to Werder Bremen when he had the chance, when he was given that opportunity out of college, right? Because he has been a very, very good player, if not a top, what, 20 attacking player in MLS the last 3 or 4 years? Is that fair?
Top 20?
Yeah, top 20.
For Jordan Morris?
Yeah.
I think top 10.
Okay, top 10 player in MLS in the last 3 or 4 years. I want to see how that translates. And it's a very interesting experiment because he's proven enough that we should have expectations. He's going to a league that gets compared to Major League Soccer on the regular. The besties in our Patreon Slack, they were going back and forth. And Nicholas Soup and Sausage, I'm just going to let me call up the man himself, Nicholas Soup and Sausage.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
This man, I know he loves his FC Cincinnati. I know he does. He supports them. He does a podcast about them. He's putting in all the work, all the effort. You saw the behind the scenes on the Patreon with his wonderful studio to produce his podcast. The man hates on Major League Soccer hard. So
I feel he thinks every team in MLS is as good or as bad as Cincinnati.
I think that might be what it is. No, I think he's pretty realistic about that. But I do think he doesn't believe MLS is on the level of the championship, and certainly not second place in the championship. Nick,
weigh in on that conversation from the Slack this week. And guys, if you want to get on the Slack, just join us at Patreon at the Best Soccer Show over on Patreon and get access to the Slack where this kind of stuff goes down all the time. Nick, what was your thinking on it?
Well, the initial thing I was responding to was somebody calling this a lateral move, which I don't think that it is.
It's absolutely a lateral move. It's not a step down, but it's a lateral move. It's not a step up.
I think it's a lateral move from the Seattle Sounders to Swansea. I don't know if it would be a lateral move if you went from Cincinnati to but that's what you were saying, though, right?
Yeah. No.
Sounders were plopped into the championship. They'd be a place away from automatic promotion of the Premier League. There's no way.
I think they have a chance.
No way.
Again, I said this in the Slack. I'm going to pull this conversation here. It's an incredibly stupid conversation, the comparison between the championship and MLS. There are too many variables. You cannot possibly – and look, you know, if you took player for player and you moved LAFC into – I don't know, you put them in Luton and they're playing without the travel and all the stuff that comes with being in MLS, who knows? I honestly don't know, okay? I think LAFC would be fine. I think Seattle Sounders would be fine. Would they win the whole league? I have no idea. You know, that I watched that Leeds team last year that won the championship. I don't know. I think there are teams that could play with that Leeds team. But this in terms of this for Jordan Morris, I think that if you're an American player right now and you're in the top 10 of Major League Soccer attackers and you're not going to a top division, it's a lateral move. It doesn't really even matter if Seattle could win games in the championship. It's just based on the level of that league. And it's not a top division. That's all.
Nick feels different.
I want to clarify. I don't hate on Major League Soccer.
Yes, you do.
I just think that the championship is better. I happen to enjoy watching Major League Soccer.
Oh. So Nick,
I have to watch bad Major League Soccer on a weekly basis. So give me a little credit there.
That's true. Nick, in that case, so I'm sure then, because you want this question answered for you, you're watching Morris and not Hoppy on that scenario we just put out there.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think I'm watching Morris too. Our chat here was overwhelmingly Hoppy on that question. I think they just want to see if the sexy can continue.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's very difficult to avoid the beer puns. I'm gonna have to squash it. You know, you keep saying, "Oh, it's overwhelmingly Hoppy," and I'm like, I can't. That's too easy. I can't do it. Gotta leave it alone.
How much do you think he's gonna play at Swansea?
That's another thing. I have no idea.
And this is me going back to the old school, like American, watching Americans overseas kind of thing. I think it depends a lot on the coach. Is the coach, I think it's going to be, he has an easier road ahead of him to get minutes early than Americans previous to him because of the in vogue thing that we've been talking about with Americans. Assuming that the coach is paying attention to what's going on with that. I think they're getting a hell of a player that can help right away in that league.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of if he impresses early. But here's the thing with Jordan Morris impresses, and Americans have always impressed with.
that dude will run his ass off.
Oh, absolutely.
Off
he will bust his ass. He will bust his ass to impress the They play a 3-5-2, and I've heard a little bit of analysis on this, having not watched a single minute of Swansea this year. Does he fit in into a two-striker setup? If he's doing a lot of the running to create space for the other forward in that situation, that could work. Obviously, we know he can slash. He can cut in. He can obviously be an incredible transition player if you need to run the break. I mean, he scored some goals this past year that were man goals. You know, they were the kind of goals that were like, oh, damn, dude, he actually is.
The first time I've ever seen that weird sliding camera be useful is that counterattack where he just blazes through the entire defense. I think it was against Orlando. That goal is amazing to watch with that camera, sideline camera, that zip line
The one on the sideline,
the one on the sideline. It is an amazing angle to see Orlando's defense looks.
If Jordan Morris becomes an American in Europe and starts scoring goals, even in the second division, he will merit a call sign. We'll have to talk about whether or not that's something he should get. He's been around for a while.
By the way, my boy Lefty in the chat is giving me some ideas about, he's saying, kind of overwhelmingly hoppy. He said, just like a triple IPA.
I know.
What if his name is The Pale?
No, here's Nate saying his call sign is Strange Brew, which I really like that.
Brewmaster.
He might have to have some Canadian history to be Strange Brew. Although, well, okay. I don't know how you do that, because Strange Brew is a Canadian production, right? Bob and Doug McKenzie.
I don't know what to make of this from Harold Hirschman. He says, is Hoppy the next Julian Green? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think he means, is he going to like get a lot of attention and then just never live up to that hype?
Did Julian Green have 4 goals in the Bundesliga?
He did not have 4 goals in the Bundesliga.
One for Bayern Munich, I think, back in the day?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, we don't have a comparison for Matthew Hoppy because it's the Bundesliga, but I guess you could throw Bobby Wood and say that's a player who kind of like had a moment and then just never really... He's probably the
most productive striker that Americans have ever had in Europe. I mean, in the Bundesliga. Maybe Europe, actually, if you think about strikers.
Yeah.
Is he the most, like, decorated, like, or achieving striker? Because Jozy Altidore got, what, 0 goals at Hull?
Yeah. You know, I think I saw a stat that in terms of top 5 division or top 5 leagues, Matthew Hoppy.
Jozy in the Eredivisie, I think he had a lot of goals when he was in the Eredivisie.
Yes, but that's obviously a second-tier league in Europe these days, so I think that if you
the top 4 leagues,
top 4 or 5 Bobby leagues, Wood. The most goals by an American forward playing.
Dempsey. If you consider Dempsey a forward,
but did he play a lot of forward at Fulham? I'm not sure he did.
He played a lot of left wing, and every once in a while, Donovan played at forward when he was at Everton.
Brian McBride had some goals at Fulham too.
Oh yeah, McBride,
absolutely.
Oh my God, yeah.
I don't know
Thank
what
you
this
for shouting it as well. This was a deserved all caps and exclamation
there,
points.
There were eight exclamation points on that. Like, you're right. It was some stat. I don't know what it was. It was specific about Jozy and whatever. It just had more. He has more goals than Jozy did in the top division. I guess that's what it is. Which is again interesting considering his limited history. All right, Jordan Morris becoming a Swan. Is this like an ugly duckling becoming a Swan? Does he have to?
Ooh, he's not ugly. Come on.
No.
Here's what I'm anxious to see. I'm anxious to see if Jordan Morris will now achieve his handsome man potential once he goes to Europe.
Yeah, but
he goes to Europe and he's going to be all of a sudden there's a lot bigger profile. He's going to have access to better clothes and a media team out there. Like
maybe he
finally achieves his the bachelor
maybe
like potential.
But Swansea is like a coal mining town. It's very blue collar. That might fit Jordan Morris, but I don't know that it's going to up his fashion game.
They're the Appalachians of the Isles.
Oh, are you going to get yourself in trouble? Like, I'm not.
I just said it.
I did not say anything about Appalachians or West Virginia. I guess if that's also kind of an insult to West Virginians if I say that you're.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that dude in the Capitol. I'm insulting West Virginians.
All right. Let's get to Major League Soccer's coaching situation, because things are moving quickly enough that a couple of things have happened since you and I got together. Now, obviously, we talked Greg Vanney and LA Galaxy, and I know you're thrilled about that, right? That's the best that you guys could have hoped for.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I mean, especially now they're talking about bringing Giovinco back.
Okay. So, what?
You haven't heard about the Giovinco coming back?
No. Are you really want Giovinco at like 33 or 34, whatever he is?
I want Giovinco at 33 if he's not a DP. If you get a non-DP TAM contract, hell yeah, I'll take 30 minutes of magic every game.
Yeah. Okay. So he'd be like the LA Galaxy Il Senio. Is that what you're saying to me? Like something like that.
Sure.
Okay. Yes. All right. I did not know about that rumor. That is very interesting. The other things that have happened is Chris Armas named the head coach of Toronto FC. This is Ali Curtis going and getting his boy in. I don't know what to make of this. I don't want to be mean to Chris Armas.
Like this scenario is if Ducky had finally wore down Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink, you know, because like four interviews. Something said in that fourth interview was the thing that sealed it up for Chris Armas. Like, the dude has had a crush forever, and they never noticed him, even though he's been there the whole time.
I guess. I don't know what the pool was like for Toronto. You would expect them to have some pretty interesting names on the list. Patrick Vieira was rumored to be close to an offer, but then that didn't happen. I don't know if that's because Vieira said no or because the club moved on from Vieira. I don't know how much of this is a cost-saving thing. I don't know what Vanny was set to make. Armas can't command a giant salary. That's pretty clear. Ali Curtis did commit to them playing some brand.
They're saving money here. They're saving money.
No, that's what I'm saying. I know that Ali Curtis is committed to some form of the press. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means for Michael Bradley, who is absolutely not built to play in a press right now, unless you're just going to have him sit deep and let other guys play ahead of him that way.
If I'm Michael Bradley, though, I'm happy about one thing. The coach is a guy that's played my position and played it well. He knows that. But Chris Armas was a fantastic number six.
I would think it's even. How old is Michael Bradley at this point?
32?
He's only 31.
He and Josie were the same U20 team.
That's true. Man. Okay. I don't know why I keep thinking of Michael Bradley as older.
16, dude, for New York. That's
true.
He's like, been around forever.
Maybe that's what it is. He is born in 87. He is
33.
He's 33. Yeah, he's 33.
So Josie's not 30.
Josie was extra young on that U20 team. Got to remember, Josie broke in when he was a teenager. So Michael Bradley.
Yeah, he and I were pretty close, I think. They were maybe, 2 years apart or something?
Something like that. But they were younger than the 20-year-old age limit. But Michael Bradley's 33. Is it wrong for me to think that, and I kind of made the joke that they should just give Michael Bradley the job after Vanny left. I mean, he is the biggest figure left at the club now. But I think it's really, you know, relatively decent odds that he retires sometime in the next calendar year and becomes an assistant under Chris Armas, depending on what happens this year. But if you're a TFC fan, like, again, as a Galaxy fan, they bring in Greg Vanney. You're like, yes, that's a guy who knows the league, who's won in the league, who knows our team. We've got the culture down. Okay. If you're a TFC fan, what's your response to Chris Armas getting a job? What are you thinking?
I feel like Daddy left for work in a Cadillac and came home in a Subaru.
Wait, what's wrong with a Subaru? That's mean.
It's not a Cadillac.
In a pro.
Okay, that's. I suppose that's
true. He left in a luxury vehicle. Came back in a useful vehicle.
Here's what's interesting about this too. And again, it's Ali Curtis. Now it was Tim Bezbachenko. I guess I don't remember who was hired first, Vanny or Bezbachenko. But either way, Vanny grew into the job. It's not like Greg Vanny started in TFC as a great coach.
But unfortunately, Chris Armas' job is now to take this elite good team in MLS and continue it. And that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
That's a tough ask, especially because I think Toronto has maybe finally hit their ceiling and they're going to have to rebuild here in the next 1 to 2 years.
This team is
built around Bradley and Altidore.
And Altidore, right. The questions around those players are a thing.
Gonzalez, how many more years Omar Gonzalez have been?
Not sure that they're going to bring, well, yeah, they're going to have to figure that out. They're not sure they're going to bring back Piatti. Haven't seen for sure on that, but there's that as well. You know, they have some nice pieces, Liam Frazier and Jonathan Osorio, and missing like two or three other players. Akinola, obviously, you know, they can turn to him.
Yep.
To pass the baton from a Josie, or they could sell Josie at some point. I mean, he's every now and then it's like a club in Turkey or a club in Mexico is interested in Josie out there. I don't know how real that is, but that's a possibility.
Would you rather be okay? This is a good pick your poison too. I know you've already had one, but here's another.
I mean, we can do as many as you want, man. This is a BB, Bell Biv DeVoe zone here. Go ahead.
I love big butts and a smile, so I enjoy it.
Never trust a big butt and a smile, Jared. Never trust a big butt and a smile. Okay, go ahead.
Would you rather have Chris Armas' position of taking over a successful Toronto team and trying to either rebuild it or maintain it, or Greg Vanney's position of trying to get Galaxy back to form after a horrible year?
I'd rather be Armas right now. I'd rather be honest right now. That team knows how to play together. They were very good at points in 2020, despite everything that was thrown at them. Yes, Michael Bradley's getting older. Yes, they got some questions. But I think that they're a more competent team. Vanny's got a harder harder job in front of him. Now, maybe he'll get some resources. He's also got to figure out the Chicharito Hernandez situation and how to make that work. We still don't know about Pavone, right?
Is Tim Lawicki still with Maple Leaf up there?
No, he left.
He's with the hockey side. He left.
You know, it's Bill Manning who's the guy in charge right now. And, you know, who knows the league?
And here's the thing, too. You got to remember, the success that Vanny had was on the heels of Lawicki being up there as well. Tim Lawicki built the Galaxy, then went to Toronto and built Toronto. He is a guy that understands how to build from the executive side.
Mm-hmm.
And that presence is not there anymore for this time when Toronto's going to have to do it again. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure on Armas and to have to try to find these pieces again to build back out. And I think Galaxy has the same problem. You've noticed it. Garth Lagerwey, look at the – when you have the elite talent at the executive positions, watch the destruction behind them as they leave. Garth Lagerwey, once he left RSL, Jason Kreis had no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
he had clothes. Jason Kreis has clothes, but let's make it Emperor has no clothes. Kind of
I knew what you were doing there. Okay, so we came into the offseason with open jobs in Los Angeles, Toronto, D.C., Atlanta. We ended up with an extra one in Miami, which I'm going to get to here in a second. That wasn't already done yet. So we now have Greg Vanning installed in Los Angeles, Gabriel Heinze installed in Atlanta. I think both those are home runs. I don't think – not that guaranteed success, but I think that they're both the right choices for those clubs. Armas, the jury is out on Armas. Right now, if you ask me, I'm going to give it a C+. It's not a great grade for me.
Here's the thing. You're about to talk about these other two hires to happen. Ben Olsen's the man out. Ben Olsen is the odd man out here. This season's going to start without Ben Olsen in a head coaching position.
Well, if you considered him a real possibility for TFC, which again, I think it says a lot about TFC if they were interviewing Ben Olsen and Chris Armas.
That's right. He's going to land the championship.
He's going to go over and where was it? Sheffield Wednesday?
Remember.
Something like that. All right. So the other two clubs that are still without coaches, and again, Inter Miami firing Diego Alonso after that whole like bad postseason meeting, and he thought he was fired but wasn't fired, and then they had to backtrack, and then he actually did get fired. So right now we are hearing that Phil Neville's going to get that job in Miami. And right now, Stephen Goff, the Washington Post, reporting that Hernan Losada, an Argentinian who's been in Belgium for like the last 15 years, is going to get the DC United job. I don't know anything about Hernan Losada, Jared.
Nor do I.
And it's an interesting move to bring in a guy who has zero experience in Major League Soccer, who wasn't a big name. He has been at Beerschot, which is, I'm sure you don't say a Beerschot, right? But it definitely looks like Beerschot.
That's where Matthew Hoppe should be.
He should. Matthew Hoppe's call sign is Beerschot. I think that's probably what we need to. Boilermaker. Can he be Boilermaker?
Oh, that's pretty cool. Boilermaker.
Not bad. Yeah, okay. So let's talk about Phil Neville, because that's certainly a guy you know. Is that it's not done. Nobody's saying it's done.
I'm just to see what the dynamic's going to be between he and Beckham. Like, is Beckham going to be heavy-handed? Because it looks like all of a sudden Beckham's really interested.
Is it ever a good idea, by the way? I'll say one of the secrets of our show, I think, over the last 10 years or whatever it is that we weren't friends before this started. We had to build a friendship through the program. Like, we were kind of like...
It's still fake.
We were like... Before Tinder, we swiped right, and we ended up doing a show together. It's all for show.
Your profile kept coming up. Eventually, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I should go on a date with this dude.
But is it ever a good idea for, like, really good friends, best friends, to go into business together? Is that ever a good idea? Don't know.
Man, it's dicey. It's dicey, because one day, either Devil's going to leave and spurn Beckham, or Beckham's going to have to tell him, hey, buddy, you're out. Like, it's going to be an interesting time, and I think a lot of people are far more suspect out of this hire than many of the other coaching moves that have happened so far this season. Like, right now for you, is Neville a better hire than Chris Armas?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Chris Armas knows the league at least.
Yeah,
right?
He does. He does know the league. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to DC's hire, at least I maybe understand what they're doing.
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to give you an idea of what I think is happening. What country in South America has been providing a ton of talent into the United States?
Yeah, Argentina. Now, the other thing that Goff reports about Hernan Losada is that he is Bielsian in his philosophy. So this definitely feels like this is what DC United did. Okay, I'm going to walk you through what DC United's situation was here. All right, so 10 years of Ben Olsen. He had some good times. He did magic in some years with terrible teams or weak rosters. They didn't give him any resources. He won a U.S. Open Cup. He gave got his team into the playoffs a bunch of times, but obviously it was time to move on. They say goodbye to a legend, and which is hard, right? You have to fire a club legend. And by the way, he's still got a role with the team. Like, it's in his contract that he's still basically on the payroll doing something. Like, they probably got him, like, I don't know, tweeting?
He'll have to give that up if he gets another MLS coaching gig, though. That's a conflict of interest, right?
I think, yes, he'll have to quit DC United if he's going to get another job.
Well, I mean, right now, here's the thing. Right now, what it seems like is this is one of those mob positions where it's a no-show pay.
Definitely. It definitely feels that way. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, he's still there, technically speaking. It was in his contract. They fire Ben Olsen, and then they go on this search, and they talk to Jill Ellis, and they get this buzz off of, they might be the first MLS team to hire a female coach, and she certainly deserves an interview and consideration considering the two World Cups she won with the U.S. Women's National Team. And then it's like, they want to be, they want to expand the roster of black coaches in MLS because there aren't that many. And what the hell's going on here? And Ezra Hendrickson is mentioned, and the guy from Tulsa, whose name.
Give Easy a job.
Yeah, Easy deserves a job. There's a couple of other guys who are in that mix. And then it's like, actually, they're going to go after Gonzalo Pineda. And Gonzalo Pineda is this up-and-coming, he's a Mexican who knows North America, knows MLS. He's been in Seattle for a while as an assistant. Incredible reputation as an assistant coach. They're going to pluck out the next rising star. And then they can't come to an agreement. And reportedly couldn't come to an agreement with Chris Armas, who ends up in by the way, if you're Chris Armas, you fell backwards into gold, man. That is a Scrooge McDuck dive into riches after you nearly got hired by DC United. Then we hear, they're expanding their search. There's 20 candidates still on the list. And we're 3 months in. I'm like, what the hell? Jared, you are occasionally responsible for hiring people, right? Or involved in that process. Yes. Has it ever taken you 3 months to hire for an open position? Have you ever had a 20-person list 3 months into your process?
Not quite that long, no.
No, I mean, and if you're talking about the most important position at the club, that's what this is. Now, I understand getting it right, but you're just it felt like they were paralysis by analysis, right? They were just overthinking everything. Now, they spun the big wheel. They thought, no female coach, no black coach. What else can we go for? How about a Bielsian coach? How about a big, a coach who presses all the time, aggressive pressing play? Let's bring in the Almeida of the East Coast. By the way, Gabriel Hines is going to do the same thing in Atlanta. So they just went for the trend. This is like they did TikTok for coaching searches.
If either one of these guys are smart, they're going to go pay the $10 million and go get Pavone from Boca Juniors.
Yeah, if they have that money, but just in terms of this hire,
spend it on coaches. Let me say this too. There should be no debate anymore that Jill Ellis is qualified for an MLS coaching gig
after who got hired.
You just gave it to the English women's team coach that didn't win anything.
Yeah,
so. Let's not have a conversation ever again about whether or not Jill Ellis on her credentials and her resume is not fit to coach an MLS.
Who did better with their hire for you? Now we talked, Armas, I gave a C+. Who did better? It's not done yet. Sorry. If Neville gets the job, which again, I think is wild because it's 100% on Beckham now. It is. Yeah. Everything is on him if they screw it up. Is it Neville or Losada? Who's a better choice for you?
You're asking me to judge a phantom. I don't know anything about the other guy.
I know, but
I'm going to say Neville because I'm going to say Neville for this reason right here. He's a name that players will probably know and potentially come for. I think he can get a killer assistant coaching staff. If you pull on a couple of that.
Oh, man, if he just calls up the class of 92 and he's like, yo, mates, come over here and coach in Miami. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Well, I think didn't they just bring Keane and Giggs back into Manchester United? I think.
I don't know.
But I'll say this too: name recognition. Where do a ton of Brits vacation in the summers? Miami.
Yeah, they wear their fanny packs and they walk down.
Who doesn't want to see the Beckham and Neville show when you're picking like?
By the way, speaking of the Beckham show, did you see him in training with the youth?
I saw him nutmeg a fool.
Okay, he's 45 or whatever he is now. He's still got some shimmy. But were his toothpicks always toothpicks? Because those
are small legs.
Those are crazy small legs for a professional footballer. It's nuts. Like,
and those small legs, and I've seen it in the locker room, are on a fantastic ass.
I don't need to know any of that. I mean,
it's odd that he would have such a.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
It's like two water balloons.
That doesn't make it. First of all, it's all one package. You can't have a good ass with no legs. It doesn't work.
You can say that, but Mother Nature felt otherwise. I've seen it in the flesh.
I don't believe
that
you.
Dude is some tidy whities.
I don't believe you. Yeah. No, look. Obviously, he's a soccer player. He has to have the rump. Otherwise, you can't do what you need to do. I'm just saying those are some paley ass toothpicks he's got there. Lefty
that's some heavy shade.
Says that Neville will be the new Ruud Gullit. I think that Neville's disposition is bad for MLS and for that
job. Doesn't this feel like 07 Galaxy a little bit though?
Yeah, like it does.
Beckham's going to come in and show you how to do it all. Beckham's going to come in and show you how to.
You
do
don't
it right.
trust. You can't trust David Beckham to pick a coach. You don't trust. You don't. You can't. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, and you don't want David Beckham picking your coach. You just don't. He did it once already, and it was an absolute tire fire. Come on.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. I have a little bit of faith in Phil Neville. I think tactically he's smart. I mean, I we'll see if the players respond to him when they play for him, though. I don't know.
Well, that's not a done deal, not confirmed yet. Again, the rule is wait until he's there holding up the jersey or the shirt. There's probably some stuff we missed on this show.
I think of all the teams that hired a coach in this offseason, it is Gabriel Heinze at Atlanta.
Oh, okay. You want to do this? Okay, you want to rank them. All right, go for it.
I think it's Gabriel Heinze at Atlanta. I think it's Vanny at LA. I think it is Armas at Toronto.
Mm.
Then the DC one's so weird. I don't even know how to rank the DC one because I really don't know anything. But I'm going to put him at 4. And then it's Neville.
Okay. Agreed? I mean, I'm not. I think you could swap Neville and Losada and I would be like, okay, sure.
For sure.
Yeah, just no idea. Like, whatever.
I'm willing to bet on an unknown, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
The other one is a known, if it happens, it's a known quantity, and I wonder what that drama is going to be like between the owner and the coach.
If they don't win,
there's pressure there that doesn't exist at another club.
Everybody said, well, the reason Beckham wasn't as involved in 2020 as he wanted to be was because of the travel and the restrictions and COVID. Okay, fine. He's stepping in. This is his team now. There is, if it's Neville, there is no doubt anymore. And they're going to go from, not that Diego Alonso played this super aggressive, attacking, progressive soccer, but he still was, he still was from Latin America. He did have the panache of all that. Now you're going to go with, I'm not saying Phil Neville's going to play Route 1, but he's not going to be, you know, Marcelo Bielsa. He's not going to be Pep Guardiola out there.
Better not play Route 1 if you have Pizarro on your team. You want to make him part of it.
Hoof the ball up to Gonzalo Higuain. See what happens. That's what you do.
Down the stretch last season.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. Again, we probably missed things, stories in American soccer that you wanted us to talk about. This is what I want you to do. Send us a message on Twitter at Best C Soccer. Make sure you're following. That's a good thing. Instagram is the Best Soccer Show. You can follow us there too. Send us your questions and what you want us to talk about, and we'll probably get it to it in the bonus show. Either tonight, some other point, maybe next week. If you want access to the bonus show, you have to go to patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. It's bonus programs. It's video. I think Jerry's probably going to do another disc golf video at some point in the near future.
We've done some giveaways on there too.
We're going to do some giveaways.
At the top level status, you get to join us 15 minutes before the show, see all the behind the scenes. And for the whole show, you get to see everything that's behind the scenes.
If you ever wanted to see Jason Davis freak out over the technology involved in this program, you have to get to the top level of the Patreon, because that's
Jason was in rare form tonight before the show.
Yeah, but it came together. It's all good. It's all gravy. We did a good show, right? We did a good show. All right. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Ratings and reviews. I don't know that we checked this week to see. There are no more reviews. All right, come on, people. Give us some reviews. Help us out. We got to keep spreading the word on that. We got some big plans coming up in the next 6 months or so. There are people involved behind the scenes on this show that are like legit people who know their stuff in American soccer, and I'm super excited about that. So you got to get in. Anything else, Mr. Dubois?
That's it. All hail Jordan Morris.
Is that the right way to say that right now?
Godspeed, Jordan Morris.
Okay. Good luck, Jordan. best wishes.
Have a whale of a time.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Damn, dog. That's in a post.
Danger zone.
Better coordinate.
Eddie, what happened on fucking Eddie?
Danger zone.
I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Damn, dog.
What are we doing?
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room?
Oh, would you look at that? An absolute firecracker.
Oh, it's incredible!
The horror show.
Michael fucking Arasco Fiscal.
J. Rodius.